Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. It is a Thursday, April the 30th, 2020, 4/30/2020, last day of April of 2020. Can you imagine that? That the month of April is over today. April showers bring May flowers, and you know what? We're going to have some April showers today. It's going to be an interesting day here on the program, 19 minutes past the hour, because there are some things I want to talk about. We've had a lot of guests this week, Tracy Kinsler and Mayor Schertzer and Thomas Beatty yesterday and Judge Joe Brown and Terry Tackett on Monday. So today it's just me and you here on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. Always fun to talk with you, the listening audience, and see what's on your mind and also get some things off of my chest that maybe I want to talk about. And this morning, we greet you with very sad news in the Marion community. It's one of those things, you know, here we are in the middle of this COVID pandemic, but life continues to go on, and sometimes life is not particularly fair in a lot of ways, and this is an announcement I would rather not make or talk about. I knew about it yesterday morning, but I did not want to say anything on the air because I wanted the family to be able to share the information first, and I didn't want to get out ahead of them, and I had not seen it posted anywhere yesterday, but I did see it posted last night on Facebook. I don't think it's been in the newspaper or the sections it'll be in as of yet, because it just happened yesterday morning. But really, a pioneering broadcaster, and I'm going to tell some stories here in a minute, really a pioneering broadcaster in the Marion area, who I know a lot of you out there listening, passed away yesterday morning, I believe it was. Dave Aiken passed away at the age of 73 yesterday, of cancer. And Dave was an interesting man. Many of you will remember Dave from Lights, Camera, Shop every Friday night on TV 39. Dave also was a preacher who preached every Sunday on TV 39. And Dave pretty well started that station, TV 39, and built it into what it is today, and a very mechanical guy, but also a very down-home, interesting man. And I had several run-ins in the last 20 years with Dave Aiken. They always were pleasant. Dave and I never had a cross word with each other. Dave was just a very unique man, and everybody who met Dave, I think, would say the same thing. Dave was a fun guy. I think Dave loved every minute of his life. He enjoyed what he did. He enjoyed television. He enjoyed learning new technology. He enjoyed all that. He to talk about transmitters, to talk about towers, to talk about cameras, to talk about microphones, Dave loved to do that. And when new technology came in, Dave loved to play with it. And he would take you right inside as he was playing with that new technology. And so many people over the last few years, I don't know how long Lights, Camera, Shop has been going on Friday nights, became such a fan of Dave's because he, along with his wife and his son, John, really were the big hosts of that show. And they did it in such a unique way because Dave, I believe, was from Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, and he had a very unique accent, which I think endeared him to a lot of people. He had a very unique way of speaking if you were ever around Dave. And he just was full of energy, and I was very sad to hear of his passing at the age of 73. I did know Dave had cancer, and this is one of the stories I want to tell, because it was really, it ended up being the last time that I saw Dave, was just a couple months ago. I saw him in the grocery store, and I knew that he had been diagnosed with cancer just, I believe, earlier this year. It happened very quickly. And I was talking to Dave, and he still had all the exuberance, even though he was not feeling well. I could tell he wasn't feeling well because he was having a little trouble walking when I ran into him in the grocery store, but he was there alone. He was in the grocery store and still talking. What's going on with you? How's everything going at the station? Dave always wanted to know those things. And it's a funny thing because Dave had a lot of ambition in life, and I think he achieved a lot of those ambitions. And if you watch TV 39 and the expansion that that station took, I think you will see that those ambitions came through for him. But he always had another project cooking. That was how Dave Akin operated. And when I saw him the last time, he, like I said, I know he wasn't feeling well. I knew he was sick. But he still had that exuberance and still wanted to know what was going on and what the future was going to hold. I doubt he ever stopped looking toward the future, because that was just how his mind worked. So again, if you have not heard, Dave Akin from TV 39, founder of that station, really, host of Lights, Camera, Shop, also a pastor on that station for many years, passed away yesterday at the age of 73. And we were very sad to hear that from cancer. So there you go. And if anybody's got anything to say about Dave, I know a lot of people out there watch Dave and listen to Dave. Give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The telephone lines are open. Would certainly love to hear from you. He had a lot of followers in this community, and really, you would have to say that he is one of the broadcast pioneers, because in Marion, we have had a lot of television stations over the years that did not make it. They started, and I think they had good intentions, but they did not prosper. And Dave, I don't know how long TV 39 has been there, but it's many years now, and it certainly has prospered. So sorry to hear about that. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just got back from the grocery.
Oh, how was that?
Well, I got a thing that I didn't quite understand.
Oh, okay.
The whole thing of a lot of this is to separate people, right?
I think that's the idea.
Now, I won't say which one it is, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
From 10 at night until 7 in the morning, you're not open.
From 9 till 7?
Oh, it's 9 till 7. Okay. Why are people all over the place putting stuff in at that point? For instance, over around the apples and potatoes and all that, they had three people over there. Why? Why couldn't they have that done before 7 o'clock?
Well, you know, my best guess on this, and I really don't know for sure, but I do know that trucks, it's an interesting thing, because the reason given, I do know this, to why stores could not be 24 hours anymore and to why hours were being adjusted, a lot of people thought that was to stock overnight because there was a lot of empty shelves. But the reason that was given to, I think, the outside world was to do deep cleaning. It was to make clean things that we normally would not get the chance to clean because there were customers in the store.
Now, those things, though, you're thinking mostly of the carts and stuff like that, I assume.
Yeah, things like that.
Okay. Those can be done without getting in people's roads. I mean, they clean those outside.
Well, I think one of the problems with the stocking is, this is what's become a problem. is that not a lot of trucks come overnight. So the trucks come at all different times during the day. For example, like the Pepsi people, they come usually in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And the way people are buying right now, everything is off the shelf, so you want to get it on the shelf as quickly as possible. And I think that's what's going on there. I think the night stock people are trying to refill overnight as much as they can, but if a load of broccoli comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning, they want to get it out there because there's really, to my knowledge, no back stock at this point.
Well, they were all full, but you still had these three guys putting stuff away in there and in various other places in the in there. It seemed like the whole idea, if they weren't out there, there's work that could be done in other places, I'm sure. In other words, they wouldn't have to be sent home for it. But it just didn't seem right, you know?
Well, it's interesting you bring this up because I've got a whole rant coming up here in a few minutes on the grocery store, because something occurred to me yesterday that I don't understand, because we're having so much talk about this COVID-19 and we're having so much talk about this coronavirus, and we have made so many changes as far as store hours, and we've, you know, made time for seniors where they can come into the store, and a lot of stores have done this. But to be honest, there was just something that occurred to me yesterday that I'm going to get into later on that I really don't understand, because I'm starting to see more and more of it, and I don't know where this, I guess we'll find out tomorrow and really on Monday, because the things are supposed to change. Tomorrow's May 1st. The stay-at-home order does not end, but I think most of the changes occur on Monday, May the 4th, as far as things opening back up that were not able to be open during the stay-at-home order. And I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, because I don't know if that's a green flag to people to go back to the way they were. And I don't know how this mask thing is going to work. The governor has said he wants everybody to wear a mask who's in public, but he won't mandate it.
Now the one day he tried to mandate, people went to him and told him, now I got this from WLW, told him, you can't do that. It's not legal for you to tell people they have to wear this or that. And then, surprisingly, the next day, him and Queen Amy decided it's okay to, you don't have to. In other words, we would prefer that you do, but you don't have to.
Well, and that's where I think this thing took a turn, because I think their intentions were probably good when they were laying this out, because they thought, okay, we'll make everybody wear a mask. Well, then they made the announcement, and now they can't make everybody wear a mask, so when people start going out, they're not going to. People still aren't. I mean, I would say it's about 50-50 right now on the mask thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll spread it or not. I would imagine that if somebody has it and they go into a crowded grocery store, and trust me, it's easy to go into a crowded grocery store because they're still crowded, and they have an episode where they're close to a lot of people, it's highly contagious is all I understand. So I don't know. I think it's, I don't know what's going to go on with this. I understand this is probably driven by more of the economy than anything else, but if the numbers start to go back up, I don't know what they'll do.
Yeah, I was irritated today. The big deal is toilet paper. The whole world needs toilet paper. And I went in and they had some. But what they didn't have were any thing to tell me what they cost. So I took them in and I said, I'm going to run this last. I don't know what it cost. And it's $16.99. I said, no thanks. I've got four stations of it at home.
That is expensive toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's
but, again, where was it? You would think if they were putting it out, they certainly could put something down there to tell you what it is. I guess they figured most people would take it over. Well, I might need some. You know, it's, God.
Well,
I'll tell you one thing I thought was terrible about early last week. I think it was maybe 5 o'clock at night, and this one woman came in, and she handles some foster kids. She brought 5 kids in there under the age of 12.
Yeah.
What in the hell was going on? Why was that allowed?
Well, I think at this point there's no rule against that I know of. She probably shouldn't have done it, but there is no rule.
A couple of them were pushing carts around.
Oh, people.
Nobody had the nerve to go and say, hey, let's cut it out.
Well, people are still bringing their kids in. It's tough because I don't know. One of the problems with this is, if you look in society, people were leaving their kids with elderly grandparents, using them as babysitters, or maybe just people over the age of 60, and they were also using the schools. Well, our daycares. Well, now you got no daycares, you got no schools, and you don't want to leave them with the elderly people because they're at a higher risk category. So now people are really limited on where they can leave their kids and get a babysitter. So it probably is tough if you're going to the grocery store. What do you do with your kids? I don't know.
Yeah.
I,
but you don't take them to the store, I would hope.
Well, you would hope not. I think there are less kids in the store, though. I do think that number has gone down quite a bit.
Yeah, it has some, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think there are less senior citizens. I've thought that was different. I think senior citizens are still coming out.
Most of the time on that 7 o'clock thing, it's relatively crowded. Not real bad. But they came in pairs. You know, both of them come there. And, of course, that doesn't help because what happens with those guys is they'll have their cart, and the cart will be on one side, and they'll both be standing on the other. So you have to basically go to, and Kroger's does not have the one-way deals that some of them do.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I don't know. It's the same thing, I think, same problem the governor's having at this point. What can you mandate? What can't you mandate? What's going to tick people off? Are people already ticked off? How long can we do this? And I think one of the issues going on right now is, you know, we were coming into this world where people were accepting the changes, and now we're going to loosen up some of the changes.
Mm-hmm.
So now what? Do people go back to the way things were before this? Do people...
some of the ones in Israel and all, they pretty much cleared theirs out, and I don't think they came anywhere near what we did as far as making everybody do this and that.
Well, it was, you know, it was a conversation we had earlier on this week on the program, I think when Terry was in here, about, he was talking about how he knew a business owner, a restaurant, who was so upset that the restaurant was not allowed to be open, but the grocery stores were allowed to be open.
Mm-hmm.
And my contention to that whole thing was that if you shut down the grocery stores, people are going to panic. And I saw the panic buying that was happening. And you did not get that panic buying when the restaurants closed down. So that's the difference. But the problem is, on the other hand, is when you leave the grocery store open in that particular way, what rules can you institute? It's hard. People have their own mind, and people do what they want to do. And Glenn, I think, was on here yesterday talking about when he went to the grocery store this week, that somebody bumped into him and got real close to him. So I don't know.
I tell you, my daughter's really upset with the whole thing. She works down in Powell, and she's a hairstylist. And her normal amount that she makes every month is $18,000. Well, she spent the last month and a half here making about $20 a night delivering groceries and stuff to people.
Right.
And what she did, as soon as she found out about this stuff, she established it with all the people down there before, three or four people can come in and they can all talk and all that. And she established it so one only one person comes in at a time. The others can sit out in chairs in front of her thing that's all closed off. First thing she does is she takes her temperature. If their temperature is anywhere near 100, I'm sorry, we can't do you today. And then she's worn her mask. And, you know, she was very careful. And after each one, she would clean the whole place down and then go let the next person come in. She can't work.
Well,
you can't get any better than that.
Well, it's interesting because that whole temperature taking thing never really took with a lot of businesses, and I don't know why. I'm not saying businesses aren't doing it, but there are none that I have seen that are taking the temperature of employees. But I don't know. Is it mandated? I don't know. I mean, the governor seemed to act like it was on Monday's press conference, but I guess you can't mandate masks. I don't know if you can mandate people to take people's temperature or not. I don't know.
Well, the owner of the place there, he can say you can't come in here without, if you don't have a mask.
Yeah,
I
think the owners can, but I don't know if the owners of retail establishments will do that for two reasons. Number one, I think the practical reason is they don't want to tick off the customers long term if another store is not going to follow suit. And number two, I think the problem becomes, are they going to do it? You know, do you want to have a fight with 50% of the customers keeping them out of the store because they don't have a mask to put on? And then also, a lot of people can't get masks. I hear that a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, my daughter had plenty of them. In fact, she actually has sold some of her things, you know, just to keep them going.
It's a tough time, and I think one of the fallouts of this whole thing is going to be is how did we handle it? And I don't know how this open-up's going to go. I have hope that the open-up's going to go okay, but I don't know. If the disease is as contagious as it has been, and we've got over 100 cases outside the prison in Marion right now, are those people still self-quarantining? Are the people who are leaving the prison every day, the guards and the employees, are they coming in contact with people? I don't know. And I don't know what the long term of that is. It's going to be interesting to find out, because if the numbers do start to go up,
Princess Amy will have a ball.
Well, she does have. I mean, are they going to continue?
She yesterday said something to the effect that she only cares about the people dying, and she basically doesn't care about the people that don't have a home anymore because of that. That's what she wasn't saying precisely that, but that was the intent of it. Well, the people that are dying are people like me. We don't do anything to help anybody. My gosh, our time has passed. And some of us die, well, that's bad. It's people will feel bad about it, but they already had something. They probably could easily die without it. The 25-year-old people that are renting a house and they get kicked out because of this, they suffer. And I imagine even suicide and such is probably going to arise because of that.
What?
But those people it doesn't bother them. Some of them don't even know they have it.
Well, I just have seen these stories of doctors who are committing suicide because of what's going on in the hospital. That is a horrible, horrible thing to see. And I don't know. You know, we it's strange because here it is April 30th, and we really are still only about 6 weeks into this thing.
Yeah.
And that's not a whole heck of a lot of time.
And one thing a reporter asked yesterday. He asked Amy, he says, you know, you've been telling us about all the bad things. He says, you know, so many have died and so many have it and everything. What you haven't told us about are the ones that have recovered. Oh, I don't know. Well, the governor of Kentucky every day lists those people and tells about it too. This guy was saying, let us know that it doesn't automatically, you don't automatically die when you get this, particularly if you're under 70 years old.
Well, that's a thing, yeah, and I don't know how, well, and that's a thing, too, that I really do worry about, because we look at these numbers, and we're so into the numbers. I honestly don't pay much attention to the numbers, because I know that somebody my age who gets this, not to say that I couldn't drop dead from it, because I could, but somebody who's not got any pre-existing conditions, somebody who's not on any medication, somebody who is not 60 years of age, I know that typically how this would affect me, I would feel like I had the flu, and I probably would not go to the doctor, but would I infect other people? Now that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing, too. The numbers, to me, are kind of like polls. You know, I don't think they're exactly... I know that. Well, I think Dr. Acton and DeWine and a whole bunch have all said that, too. That these are not exact figures. These are what we know.
But that's what they use. You know, the millions and millions is what they use to get this the way it is now.
Yeah, it's an interest. I don't know how we're going to look back on this time, but I do know this is the point. Because in the beginning, you know, when we found out what was going on, we reacted very quickly, and that was good. And that'll go down as handling it well. Now, did we make all the right decisions? Probably not. But we did things that were important. But now that we're 6 weeks in, when we try to pull these openings, when we try to do what needs to be done, are we at the point where that's conducive? I don't know if we are or not, and I think this is going to tell the tale.
I feel we're definitely going into a big drop.
Well, this could be, it's either going to be great, and the numbers will stay down, and we'll open back up, and everything.
No, I mean, I'm on the other side.
Right, and that's what I say, or that. We're gonna. Yeah. It's gonna be bad, because
it's gonna be real bad.
Right. It's gonna go one of two ways, and I mean, I hope it goes the positive way, but if it does go the other way, everybody's gonna be right back to square one.
Now, when you're talking about that, are you talking about the people that have lost their jobs, or are you talking about the people that got sick?
I think both. I think the
because
people.
It's. With all the well-known places that says we're not going to go back, we're not going to become we're going to get rid of our companies and stuff. Particularly a lot of the eating places. A lot of those aren't going to happen. That means those people won't have any jobs. And I told my daughter, I says I was born in 36, which was a Depression time, toward the end of it, but Depression time, I said, I hope to heck I don't die on the same schedule.
Well, I really do think that on that note, I do think, I don't think we will go into that, just for the fact that I think even if the government has to borrow money from a foreign country and put it on the credit card, which we have done for wars many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
I do think they will do that. I think they are very aware. I think Republican, Democrat, Independent, Congress, Senate, President, I think they're all very aware that if they are going to keep things shut down, they've got to keep money coming. When you really think about it, they got that stimulus out. When you consider no stimulus legislation, IRS not ready to send it out, checks not produced, money not ready to go out. They did that in pretty short order.
Yeah. Like I said before, you know, I took the money, but I think it was foolish for them to send them to me.
Well, I think what they're...
In other words, I haven't even put my taxes in for the last 7 years because I don't owe them anything. They don't owe me anything.
Right. And, well, I think one of the reasons is that I really do believe the reason they gave it to seniors was I think they were hoping that they're going to spend, maybe buy more groceries, maybe give it to a family member, do something, because they're
give it to their daughter who doesn't have a job, huh?
Right, and also to stimulate the economy, because they knew they could only give everybody so much money, and I think that's the hope in this, is that maybe a senior who normally wouldn't have enough money to buy something else because they're on a fixed income now would, because they have an extra $1,200.
Sometimes that fixed income isn't too bad, yeah.
No, but I just think there's a hope that people are going to buy, because that's the only time they really send stimuluses out, is when there's a hope for people to buy.
Yeah.
And they want.
And it's been effective.
Yeah, it has been effective, because more people have been in the stores, and more I've seen people buying televisions left, right, and sideways. And, you know, the economy problem is going to be the jobs problem. And I don't know how that's going to be solved, because you can't send everybody back to work quite yet. So, yeah. I don't know. That's interesting, but it's a fascinating...
It's interesting. One guy called into WLW and said the hardest thing to buy anymore is... It's almost impossible. Freezers. People decide they have to have freezers all of a sudden.
Well, I think that's the worry and to me, that's the panic again, that the grocery stores will shut down and we won't be able to get food.
Right.
I don't know that that's going to happen, but I think that's the worry.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well,
it's good to talk with you.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you. Glad you're out there.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Bye.
And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call. Would love to talk with you. 49 minutes past the hour. Do you have anything to say in regard to what the caller just said? It's an interesting time. We're heading into another phase here where we're going to try to... open things back up and see how that goes, and I guess we will see how that goes. But again, I did want to mention one more time that if you had not heard, Dave Aiken, pioneering broadcaster here in Marion, dead at the age of 73 yesterday. Let's go ahead to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. I made enough coffee. I'm actually up at 8:30 in the morning.
Well, there you go. How you doing, Adam?
Very, very good, sir. Let me switch phones here because the battery is about ready to be ready for retirement. That's better. Gotta have two of these phones. I think that was our friend Gail that we were speaking with, if I'm not mistaken.
That was.
And I agree with a lot of what he has to say. I mean, it's an interesting perspective because he indicated his age, 83 or 84. I mean, he's in the high-risk demographic, and he's trying to analyze it and take a look at the practicality. So I really enjoyed his call. It's good to hear from him. He's always someone with good insights. And you know, we talk about kind of middle generations. Just it's May 12th, Scott, before retail stores can open, and of course all the social distancing and some of the adjustments we call the new normal is going to take place. The only thing that happens tomorrow is just medical procedures, and they have to be outpatient. So dentists, I would assume optometrists. I didn't hear them mention that, but I assume that that's included. I would think things like plastic surgery, as long as it's outpatient, would be okay, but those have been on hold. People kind of joking they never looked as forward to going to the dentist, so dentists are included. Emergency procedures, things affecting your health significantly, like they talked about on Monday, those have not been part of the equation. It's just things that are not considered quite as urgent, and that's a gray area anyway, but that's all that happens on the 1st. Then even, I think it's the 5th, somewhere next week, where you can go back to work in an office, but they're still encouraging you to work at home. And I think a lot of people are getting used to working at home. There are advantages, and that's probably not going to change too much. Construction, those kind of things are added. Emergency-type jobs like HVAC repair, those things have been exempt. Then the 12th, that's when the stores open. But what do you think about the mall, Scott? Wouldn't a mall be considered a mass gathering? So, JCPenney's would be open. But what about the stores inside the mall? We have to go inside the mall to get to them. Would they leave the outside entrances open? They didn't explain that, and no one ever asked that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the governor said pretty clearly that the mass gathering of more than 10 people is still in effect, that you cannot have more than 10 people congregate together. So I think you are going to have to follow that, even if you're in a mall. And I think also that the stay-at-home order still is in effect for people. Don't go outside if you don't have to. I think they're just trying to open these places back up for people who have to go, which will, I'm going to save my rant about the grocery stores till next hour. But
yeah, they don't have to. That's, well, I don't have to buy a new pair of shoes, but if I want to go to JCPenney's, I can. That to me is a contradiction. I never understood that. Plus the mall, yes, you can be 6 feet apart. Polaris Mall and Easton are big, but there's more than 10 people there. So that to me is a gray area. I don't even understand that at all. So I don't know exactly what the provision is, and can a mall actually open? But you would have to be 6 feet apart. They would have to stagger the entrances. So that didn't make a lot of sense to me either. So they really should have clarified that better, because that's going to come up. So that's something that I kind of thought of. But that date is 2 weeks away. Yeah, they did switch gears in the masks, Scott. But my understanding is some states do require them. I think Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, a state that's near us, that they require them. But is it something that can be enforced? Is it infringing upon our rights? Well, I would say that it is. I mean, following good sanitary practices, that's been in effect ever since I knew what it was, and As I've said, people never wash their hands, never use sanitizer before. Well, I always have. I've been especially vigilant now, but whenever there's anything, any disease that's in the forefront, I pay a special attention, this not being an exception. This is just where the government has really put in some emergency provisions. So, and about the grocery store hours, Scott, here's my question. I understand about the deep cleaning and the restocking, and I'm in favor of that. But wouldn't spreading out the hours allow, you know, just by the law of averages, if Kroger's open until 12, like the Kroger's were open until 1, some were 24 hours instead of 9, as they are now, wouldn't an additional 4 hours kind of let customers spread out, and therefore there'd be less people there at one time?
You know, I don't know.
Plus the idea of people bringing 4 kids with them. You know, Menards, you may know, you have to be 16 to go into Menards now, and I agree with that. And the mask law doesn't apply to kids under 2, which I don't fully understand. So that's one adjustment that I think was a good idea. But if Kroger were open the same hours, or at least maybe till 11 or 12, wouldn't that spread the customer base out and help with the social distancing? I didn't understand that either.
Well, I think one of the problems is there are just certain, I mean, there are peak hours, and you see it every day, that people want to come in, and you could be open 24 hours, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're just not going to have a lot of people in the store, and between 3 and 5 in the afternoon, you're going to have a lot of people in the store. And I don't know why you can't train people differently. You can't tell people to come when they don't want to come. It's just, that's peak hours. And you see it every day. You see business drop off about 7 o'clock at night. You see business pick up about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I don't think adding more hours is going to help, because people want to come when they want to come.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I don't mind. I mean, it's convenient for me. There's a Kroger literally across the street from my house. So I would walk there at 3 or 4 in the morning and not have to worry about the crowd, which I am a bit concerned about. Masks are not a cure-all, and there's also some controversy. They may actually make things worse. I think they do provide a false sense of security, as they aren't perfect. They may help, but, I mean, who knows? Exactly what constitutes a mask, that's also been an item of contention, and it's not really strictly enforced. I mean, there is some help, but again, just hand-washing and using sanitizer, that also has to be done properly. So it's not a perfect system, and I guess we will see. I mean, the idea is in the 2 weeks between now and when stores can reopen with these strict provisions, are we going to see a difference? And I agree with Gail, too. I see Amy being rather negative. I don't hear her talking about people recovering, about what percentage of people that have a positive result are symptomatic. or how bad the symptoms can be. Is it just like a cold or mild flu, or is it something very serious? I would like to see a little more talk about that. She is rather negative, and I'd rather hear a different kind of a demeanor. I'm 100% in agreement with him right there. And then you might have saw me on Facebook, Scott, post about the possible end of the buffet, and not unexpectedly, people commented. Do you have an opinion, Scott? I mean, do you think of the casinos, for example, they thrive on buffets. It gets people in, and much more in Las Vegas and Atlantic City. They attract you with an inexpensive buffet, and they put the gambling machines in front of you while you're online or after you're finished eating, and that's how they make money, and that's a good system. It's going to devastate that business. Of course, it already has. Do you think the buffets will ever come back? I mean, Marion has. You know, we have the Hong Kong buffet, which is excellent, and I like eating there when I'm in the area. You know, I used to like Ponderosa. Do you think the buffet business will ever be the same?
I do. Because eventually we're going to have a vaccine for this, and once that happens, I think that'll be the moment when people completely go back to normal. But I think as long as there's not a vaccine and the number of deaths keep going up every day, it's going to be tricky. And that's why I think they're afraid to open up the restaurants, period, at this point. But I do think once the vaccine is developed, and it will eventually come, then it'll be like all the other illnesses that we have. It'll be treatable, manageable, and if you get it, you'll go to the hospital, and they can treat it. The problem right now is, my understanding, their only treatment of this disease is Tylenol and things of that nature, and putting you on a respirator if you're having trouble breathing. So that's not a good way to manage an illness. You've got to have something more than that, and at this point they don't. And as soon as they do, then I think we'll be a little more manageable.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be people that don't respond to the treatment or have an allergy, but I would agree. Let's bide our time. There's a lot of smart scientists out there, and that's one way where it's a bit different from the 1918 situation. We have more scientists, smarter scientists, better technology. There are some differences, more than I think the media is leading us to believe. Do you think that that Gail calls her Queen Amy could use an attitude adjustment and then not be quite so negative and try to talk about recovery and percentage of people that are symptomatic and that we're moving forward to kind of agree with Gail on that, or do you think she's being a little too hard on her?
You know, I think she's trying her best. I think she's not a media person. I think she was thrown into this. I think she's in the middle of a pandemic right now. I think she's trying. I mean, I don't think in her wildest dreams she thought she'd be on television every day at 2 o'clock giving a press conference and taking questions from reporters. And I think it's tough. And I think, you know, unfortunately, it's much like the weather. The weatherman does not come on at 6 o'clock at night and tell you how sunny the weather is. The weatherman comes on and tells you when the next storm is coming. And I think that's what she's doing. And
yeah,
for good or bad, that's where we are.
Look at it from both ways. It just because Gail was in that demographic of people that are older, it was interesting to hear that perspective. And again, I admire him. I mean, he's always a bit outspoken, and we love that. That's what talk radio is about. So I admire him for coming on and telling how he feels. Every time I hear somebody talk about something, well, it goes in my brain and makes a slight adjustment one way or the other in how I feel, and I got to form my opinion.
And that's the
what's
way.
So good about being part of this this equation. And like I said, it's news time, Scott, so I'll let you go. But yeah, Thank you again for hearing me, and I thank your ears for hopefully appreciating what I have to say, and I will continue to listen to your fine broadcasting extravaganza.
Thank you, Adam. Bye.
Adam Lepp, and you know what? I'm going to come back in about 10 minutes with a rant, so stay tuned.
That nobody's paying attention to because the governor's running for president. So I'm just hopeful he comes back to the state, realizes that this race is not his to win at this point when you're so far behind, and comes does the work we need.